and verse 19. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19. And I really hope that this will speak to you. I hope this will speak to you. It's got a little bit of Sunday school in it. Those of you who don't come to Sunday school, you're missing some stuff. Need to come to Sunday school. Genesis 2:19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And the title of this message, the title I'm going to tell you now is, Careful What You Name Your Beast. Careful what you name your beast. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We ask right now, Lord, that you break the bread, you give it to me and help me to share it, Lord God, that it will be multiplied in the ears of the hearers, that they will receive this word, that it will build faith, that it will encourage. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Before you're seated, turn to someone and tell them, careful what you name your beast. Amen. Yeah, I had all sorts of names for this, but I think that's probably the best one. Careful what you name your beast. And the reason why I say that is that if you read the text carefully, it said, whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that became the name thereof. It was entirely up to him what he named the creature. He could have called a lion a mouse. It was entirely up to him what he called the creature. You see, God had given him dominion. A son of God has dominion. What that means is that the situation that comes into your life, you have the opportunity to name it. Careful what you call your beast. God had given Adam dominion. In Genesis 1 and verse 28, it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth. Adam, when he was created, was given dominion. God created the animals. There were things that were created that were big, things that were created that were small. But it was what Adam named them is what they came to be. The interesting thing is that the first act of dominion was naming. The first act of dominion was naming. The first time Adam got to use the power that he was given was to name the animals. It was to name the animals. I wonder how he came up with the names. I wonder how he decided what to call a lion. Well, you know, I did some research, and in the Hebrew, the name for a lion is Ari. And that word comes from the word to pluck violently, because at that time the Bible says that the animals did not eat flesh. So maybe he watched the lion eating, and the way it just plucked out things violently, he gave it that name, which means to pluck violently. I wonder how he named sheep. And I looked up the Hebrew word for sheep, and it means to migrate. He must have seen the sheep moving around just in a flock, and he called it after the action that he saw. But I really wonder how he came up with some of the other names. And what I'm trying to tell you today is that there will be situations that come into your life. What are you going to call them? You can call them a disaster. You can call them sad. You can call them depressing. But be careful what you name your beast. If you're a child of God and you have sonship powers, you have dominion. God gave Adam the ability to name the beast. He could have called them anything, but he named them different names, as we see in the Bible, lion and sheep and all of the others. But you have the power to name your situation. What are you calling your beast? You can call it fearful. You can call it frightening. You can call it depressing. And that is what it will be, because here's what the scripture says in Genesis 1. And Adam called every living creature, and that was the name thereof. What I'm trying to show you is there is an application to your situation. There will be situations that the devil brings to you. What are you going to call them? It could be a situation of cancer. It could be a situation of sickness. It could be a situation of lack. But be careful what you name your beast. If you acknowledge the name that Satan wants to call your situation, you may be in trouble. Because whatever Adam called it, the Bible says that was the name thereof. What situation are you dealing with? Because Satan will bring some situations for you to name. He may bring some situations of sadness. He may bring some situations that he wants to call depression. He may bring some situations that are called doubt. What are you going to call them? What are you going to call them? Let me give you an example in scripture. It was that Abraham had a maidservant, or Sarah had a maidservant. Her name was Hagar. And there was a fuss between Hagar and Sarah. And Sarah was not treating her very, very well, because she had given birth to the child of Abraham. And Sarah got a bit jealous. And she started to treat Hagar poorly. And Hagar got fed up with this, with that situation. And she ran away. She ran off into the desert. And it turns out, as she was in the desert kind of bemoaning her situation, looking at her sad situation and the unfairness of it all, because it wasn't her choice what had happened. It was Sarah that had suggested this whole thing. It may not be your choice, the situation that you're in. It may be some other person that has got you into it. But you have a choice what you call it. You can call it victory. You can call it an opportunity. You can call it a means of getting out of trouble. Whatever Adam named it, that was the name thereof, because he had dominion. What are you going to call your beast? It may be a situation you don't like. It may be very fearful to look at. It may have big, sharp teeth, big, sharp claws. He could have called it a little pussycat. He called it a lion. What are you going to name your situation? Hagar had a conversation with the angel of the Lord. And after she had a conversation with the Lord, we see in the Bible this principle of giving things names. She decided to call the being a name who she had talked to. In Genesis 16, verse 13, she put a name on the person that she was talking to. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, the God. You are the God who sees. In other words, you're the God who sees my situation, even though I thought I was alone. Genesis 16, verse 13. Even though I thought I was alone, I was not alone. She changed the situation by naming it the God who sees me. She named the situation the God who sees me. She could have named the situation Sarah, who's being mean to me. Genesis 16, 13. She called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. For she said, have I not even here in the wilderness remained alive after seeing him who sees me? And we're reading from the Amplified Version. Who sees me with understanding and compassion. Therefore, she had met this angel by the well. And in Hebrew, the name for well is Beer. And so she named the place Beer Lahai Roy, the well of the living one who sees me. Amen. She could have named her situation distress and doubt and hate and being mean, but she changed the focus by giving it the name of the living one who sees me. I said in Sunday school that you have a duty with your situation. You can change what your situation is just by renaming it. Now the world will say that's impossible. It hasn't changed the reality, but I'm telling you that names have a power, because the Bible says in Genesis that whatever Adam named it, that was the name thereof. Jesus named the storm. He said, peace. Be still. You may say that's a command, but it was also a name. That storm will ever be remembered as the storm that was peace, be still. He changed the name of the situation. Adam's very first act of dominion was to name some animals, some beasts. We're all going to be presented from time to time with some beasts. Satan is going to bring some beasts into our life. Now, you can call it a lion. You can call it a bear. But I'm not going to get ahead of myself because it's David. Let me keep going here. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. And in that little encounter, in renaming her situation, she was able to go back. How do you name your situation? If you leave it with the name of despair, of doubt, of unhappiness, of sadness, that will be the name thereof. Because you have dominion. You have dominion. You can name your situation a case of lack and of want and of needing things. But I'm going to name it victory in Jesus, because he has never left me nor forsaken me. He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. That was a case in the Old Testament where Hagar gave a name to God. But there's also cases in the Old Testament where they named places. In Genesis 35 and verse 15, we see that Jacob was running away from Esau, his brother, because he had cheated him. He had stolen the birthright, and he was running for his life. He knew that if Esau had caught him, it would have been the end of things, because Esau was mad at what he had done. And he didn't have anything with him. With all his cheating and scheming, he ran away with nothing. And in the end, he had to sleep on a rock for a pillow. But that night, as he slept, God gave him a dream. And he saw the heavens open and a ladder from earth up to heaven. And in this ladder, at the top, he saw one like God sitting on top of the ladder. And when he woke up in the morning, he named the place. Now, here's something very interesting. In Genesis 35, 15, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel, meaning the house of God. Do you see what happened? Even though he was in the middle of a desert, he renamed the place where he was the house of God. You can have the house of God go with you if you will rename the situation that you find yourself in. You may be in a terrible place. You may be in the valley of the shadow of death, but you can fear no evil if you rename it. In Exodus 2 and verse 10, we see a person that was named. We see that Moses was hidden in a basket and put in a river because Pharaoh wanted to kill all the firstborn of Egypt, all the male children. And his parents hid him in a basket in a river. And when he was taken out of the basket in Exodus 2:10, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. See, his name was given because of the act that was done. She drew him out of the water. Sometimes the situation we're in, it seems that the name we're given is not what we like the situation to be. The name could be cancer. The doctor tells you the name of this sickness is cancer. And it's not the name that we would like. Maybe when you were growing up, you didn't like the name that your parents gave you. You know, as long as they didn't call you stupid, you were well off. But sometimes, you know, when we were small, we probably didn't like the name that our parents gave us. But there's something interesting in the scripture that I want to show you in a little while. So that was the naming of a person. But I want to also show you that God enabled Moses when he grew up to name victories. Israel was on their way out of Egypt. They hadn't gotten too far. And the Amalekites came out to fight them. And it's turned out that every time Moses held up his hands and kept his hands up in praise and worship, Israel won. As soon as his hands got tired and started to come down, the Amalekites started to have victory. So Aaron and Hur came and stood one on the left and one on the right side of Moses and held up his hand. And as long as his hands was up, Israel kept on having victory. And finally, they defeated the Amalekites. So you know what Moses did? He renamed the place. He renamed the place Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. I'm telling you that you can rename your situation. You don't have to put up with the name that the doctor gave you. You don't have to put up with the name that the situation comes with. Your situation could be depression. Your situation could be loser. Your situation could be penniless. I want to tell you that that place that Jacob named, that was not the name of it originally. That was not the name of it originally. If you look in scripture, you will see that originally that had another name. You know what this tells me? You have the opportunity to change the name. Your situation could have a name that is depression, sickness, tiredness, persecution. That could be the name that the world gives it. The name of the place that Jacob renamed to the house of God was called Luz, L-U-Z. So that tells me that you have the opportunity to rename your situation. You don't have to accept that you've lost the battle, but just like Moses, you start to worship, you start to praise God, you start to lift up your hands, and you can have that name be Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He renamed the place of battle to be the God of God and King of Kings. You don't have to accept the name that Satan wants to give you. You don't have to accept depression and doubt. You don't have to accept failure. You don't have to accept loss as your situation. See, there's a principle here. Whatever Adam named it, the Bible says that was the name thereof. I challenge you this week. You facing some bad names, some lack, some necessities, some wants, some infirmities, some persecutions, some doubts. See, that's the name it came with. But once Jacob had a sleep in that place, he got up that morning and he renamed it. You know what? This is the house of God. This is the house. Wherever you start to worship, lift up your hands, God can help you rename that place. Do you understand that Joshua wasn't named Joshua? That wasn't his original name. But when Moses chose him to start to fight for Israel, you know what he did? He renamed him. His original name was Hosea. Maybe he didn't like that name. But Joshua, your name now is going to be Joshua, because you're going to be the leader of Israel when I'm gone. You're going to be a salvation to Israel. We need to rename our situation. I'll show you a great example in scripture of someone not accepting the name that the devil brings to him. In Genesis 26 and verse 20, we see Isaac in the land of Gerar. And he had all of his cattle. And he needed water for his flocks. And we see that the people of the land didn't like him. You know, the situation was, I don't like you. You need to go back to where you came from. The water is ours. Genesis 26, 20. And he called the name of the well Esek. The first well that he undid, he called it Esek. Because they strove with him. And they digged another well. And they fought with him for that too. And he called that name Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. You know what? I want to declare that this year, Rehoboth needs to be the name. See, the devil been fighting us for some other wells. He said, for now the Lord hath made room. You know, we need to call our situation Rehoboth. This is the church you go to. You might as well use the name. Whatever your situation is, I would encourage you to name it Rehoboth. Because God has made room. And we shall be fruitful in the land. Now, there's something very interesting in studying this lesson that I hadn't noticed before. It must have been that the people of the land had changed the names of these wells. Because the Bible says in, let me find the scripture here. In Genesis 26, 18, if you could go to Genesis 26, 18. In fact, Isaac wasn't renaming the wells to what the people of the land called it. Let's read Isaac. Genesis 26, 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which had been they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up. Maybe the devil has plugged up all of your wells, all of your sources of blessing. It's time to unstop them. Now listen to this. Had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. I want you to understand that your father is not calling some of the things you're seeing by the names you're using. It's time to go back to what your father called them. The Bible says in Romans, God calleth those things that are not as though they be. Do you know what that means? The thing you're calling cancer, God's calling healing. The thing you're calling depression, God's calling blessing. You need to go back and call them after the names by which his father had called them. So when he named it Rehoboth, he hadn't made that name up. That's what Abraham had called it. It said he named the names after which his father had called him. You see, God calls you a son of God. God calls you victorious. God calls you that you're going to be the head and not the tail. You need to go back to those names for your situation. Because whatever you call it, that's what it's going to be. If you're willing to say I'm a loser and I don't know how I'm going to make it, that's what it's going to be. But if you in faith say, I'm going to look at this and I'm not going to accept that name, even if it was named by the devil, just like Jacob, you need to rename your situation. Hallelujah. You need to rename your situation. Israel, coming up to Canaan. You know what they did? They made a huge mistake. In Numbers 13:33, it says, they had sent out some spies. And when the spies came back, they said, oh, it's a beautiful place. It's just like God said. Oh, it's a land of milk and honey. But we can't go in there because there are giants in the land. You know what they were doing? They were exalting. They were naming their opposition and they were giving it a name of exaltation. They said there are giants in the land and they exalted their situation. But you know, they went one step further, they named themselves. You know what they said they were? Grasshoppers. Do you understand what happened? This was Israel's biggest mistake. It was this event that made them wander around in the desert for 40 years because they named their enemy giants and they named themselves grasshoppers. What I'm trying to tell you, whatever the name thereof, that's what it's going to be. Because of that naming, they had to wander around 40 more years in the wilderness. Let's not be like Israel. We need to reverse that situation. We need to name the devil a grasshopper because he said he shall be under our feet. What are you doing naming your situation a giant that you can't face? See what they did? You know what we do? We name ourselves grasshoppers. There's no way I can get through this. This situation is too big. And we get depressed. We start to cry and we start to weep. You know what Joshua said? We are well able. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm well able. Now say it again like you mean it. I am well able. Joshua said, we are well able to take this land. You see, God did not pronounce judgment on Israel. Israel pronounced judgment on Israel. Because they called their enemy giants and they called themselves grasshoppers. Whatsoever the name thereof that Adam named, that was it. That's why I'm telling you the message title today is be careful what you name your beast. Even if you're facing a lion, call him a pussycat. The Bible says the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, you need to tell him, not today, devil, because I know you're just a pussycat. Not today, devil, I know you're just a pussycat. Amen. Israel named themselves grasshoppers. We do it every day. We look at our situation and we name it defeat. We name it destruction. We name it despair. We name it over and hopeless. And that's not what God is saying to us. Adam had the choice. He could have named the animals anything. What are you naming your situation? In Genesis 28:19, it shows me a principle. Even if the devil has put a name on your situation, you can rename it. Jacob, it says, and he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at first. Do you understand what that means? Even if there is a name for your situation, you can rename it. You can rename it. You don't have to accept the name that is being given to you. Whatever your situation is, remember, you are a child of the King. You're a son of God. You're a princess in his kingdom. What are you calling your beast? What are you calling your beast? Don't be like Israel. They exalted their enemies and they put themselves down. I'm very guilty of this. This is message to me. Because I do this all the time. God does not want us to do that because he wants to put his glory in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, one of the people who really showed how this principle works was David. Let's turn to Samuel 17 and 26. David was only a 17-year-old teenager, a youth, when he came up to the encampment of Israel. And here they were, 40 days, paralyzed because the Philistines had this giant. I'm calling him a giant. The Bible didn't call him a giant. That's what I want you to notice. It said a man of great stature. But it does give his height. It was 6 cubits and a span, 9 feet tall. His spear and his shield was like a weaver's beam, the Bible said. But never in the chapter does David name him a giant. Let me read to you Samuel 17, verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine?" You notice he didn't say killeth this giant. "And taketh away reproach from Israel." You know what he's looking at? He's looking at the prize. He's not looking at the giant. He's looking at the prize. David had no responsibility to come and fight this Philistine. He wasn't even in the army. You know what motivated him? Hey, what's the reward? What am I going to get for killing this Philistine? He said, "What will be the reward that he should defy the armies of the living God? For who?" Now here's where he names him. "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Meaning, this guy isn't even in covenant. He has no protection. He has no covering. Do you know that I have covering? I'm in covenant with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He never calls him a giant. He says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" You know what he was saying? The name of this guy means he's got no covenant. He doesn't belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to know that you belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You need to name your situation uncircumcised, without covenant, without protection. You need to do some renaming. Be careful what you call your beast, because whatever you call it, that is going to be the name thereof. Now, it's not ignoring reality. People will say, "But you're just ignoring reality. Just because you changed the name didn't mean the situation changed." Now let me put you in God's stead. In Romans chapter 4 verse 17, Romans chapter 4 verse 17, it says, "As it is written," that means somewhere in the Old Testament, "I have made thee a father of many nations." When God was speaking to Abraham, Abraham had no children. But God said, "I have," past tense, "made you a father of many nations." See, because God looks at the situation and names it as if it was done. When we start to get that way of naming our situation the way we want it to be, we're starting to think and believe like God does. In Romans chapter 4 verse 17, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God, who maketh alive the dead and calleth those things," that means names those things "which be not as though they are." People will say, "You're being unrealistic. You're not facing up to your situation." No, I'm doing what my father does. Remember what Isaac did? He renamed the places to the name that his father called them. Your father calls it done. Your father calls it healed. Your father calls it delivered. Your father calls it raised from the dead. What are you going to call it? Be careful what you name your beast, because God calls those things that are not as though they were. Hallelujah. You see, the first act that God did after creating Adam, the first act of dominion, was to see what he would call the animals. When you become a child of God, Satan is going to bring all kinds of situations to see what you call them. You can call them defeated. You can call them lost. You can call them hopeless. Or you can look him in the eye and say, "Listen, I'm renaming this. I'm going to do like Jacob. I'm going to call this desert the house of the Lord." Well, you got no church. You're in the middle of the desert. There's no water. I'm calling this the house of the Lord. That's what Jacob did. His pillow was a stone, and yet he called the place the house of the Lord. Be careful what you name your beast. See, the devil will try and change the name. He'll try and change the name to suit him, to depress you. You see, when the three Hebrew boys were captured, you know the first thing the Babylonians tried to do? Change their name. They changed Daniel's name to Belteshazzar, after the name of their God. But I want to show you something very interesting. Daniel didn't accept that. He never even answered to Belteshazzar. When they went to call him, he wouldn't come when they called him Belteshazzar. They said, you have to send for Daniel. I'm telling you, you don't have to take the name the devil wants to put on you. You don't have to take the name this world wants to put on you. In Daniel chapter 5 and verse 12, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson had brought out all the vessels from the temple, and he was throwing himself a party. And he had desecrated God's holy vessels, and handwriting came on the wall. The handwriting came on the wall, and nobody could interpret it. So in Daniel chapter 5, verse 12, the king's wife said, you know what? There was this man named Daniel. Notice, the Bible is explicit. It doesn't say Belteshazzar. It says, call for Daniel. The king had named him Belteshazzar, but you better call him Daniel. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentence and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, not Belteshazzar, whom the king... See, the devil, who's called the king of the bottomless pit, will try and rename you. He'll rename you loser, hopeless. Why don't you give up? But if you've gone down in that water, if you have had the name of Jesus applied to you, you are still a son of the living God. You better call for Daniel. He won't answer to Belteshazzar. If you want him to come and interpret this, you better call him down. Now let Daniel be called. Isn't that what it says? Let Daniel be called, and he will show you the interpretation. They didn't say let Belteshazzar be called. They said let Daniel be called. So even after 50, 60 years of trying to call him Belteshazzar, Daniel was still opening up his window, kneeling down, facing Jerusalem, and praying like the son of God he was. He was not bowing to the pressure of them trying to change his name. And in the end, they had to come back and say, let Daniel be called. Satan will try and change your name. If you could stand with me. Short message, but I hope it's a deep subject. I hope you think about this. And God brought the animals to Adam. And whatsoever he named them, the Bible says that was the name thereof. Again, I say to you, be careful what you name your beasts. Be careful what you name your beasts. Because that will be the name thereof. That will be the name thereof. You know, you have dominion. God has given you dominion. And what you need to do is call those things that are not as though they be. I'm going to call my job situation victory. I'm going to call my finance situation Rehoboth. Because I shall be fruitful in the land. I'm going to find some names of blessing, of praise, of worship, of deliverance, of healing. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call some names over some things. And even if the devil already named it, and even it looks ridiculous and impossible, anyone else going to where Jacob was, we're looking for the house of God. Where is this house of God? Well, it's right here. You can't see it. See, because God calls those things that are not as though they be. All of us are facing some beasts. Anyone not facing any beasts? So be careful what you name them. Because you have dominion. You have the choice. And even if the world says that's stupid, don't make sense, you're just not being realistic, tell them you're doing what your father does. He calls those things that are not as though they be. I'm only doing what I see my father do. He doesn't have any impossibilities. In fact, he says nothing. Let's say that. Nothing is impossible to God. Nothing. 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 And I've seen him do it so many times. I've seen him do miracles so many times. We need to make sure what we're naming our beast. Hallelujah. I hope I delivered this the way it was given to me. I hope you get this theme. I want you to think about the things you're facing. And I want you to actually come up with a name for the situation you're facing. And every time you think about that situation, you think about the name you have given it. And declare that to be the name. Deliverance. Healing. Because I really, really, truly believe what the Bible says. The Bible says, whatever Adam named it, that was the name thereof. Yeah, you're going to get lots of things presented to you. But you don't have to accept the name. Be like Daniel. He kept his name no matter what they wanted to call him. And in the end, to summon him, they said, call for Daniel. Call for Daniel. It didn't say call for Belteshazzar. You know what that tells me? He never accepted that name. He was never going to let them name him after their gods. Because he was still going to open his window 3 times a day, face Jerusalem, and pray to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Be careful what you name your beast. I'm going to try and put in practice what I'm telling you. I'm going to try and rename some things that I'm facing. I want to name them Rehoboth because that's so good. It says, "We shall." God has made room and we shall be fruitful in the land. All of us are facing some beasts. And Satan is saying, this is what I call them, destruction, doubt, fear. David knew how to handle that. He wasn't even thinking about how big he was. He called him, "You uncircumcised Philistine. You come all buffed up. But I come in the name of the Lord." Because he has given him a name that is above every other name that can be named. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. That's the only name that really matters. That at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, that is under the earth, in the earth, and above the earth. That's the only name you really need to call over your situation. Hallelujah. We're closing this service. But be careful what you name your beast. Be careful what you name your beast. Because the Bible says whatever Adam called it, that's what the name stuck with. But if the devil named your beast, just like Jacob, you can rename it. Like Moses, you can start raising your hand. And when God starts to give you the victory, you can rename it. He called the name of the place where they had victory over Amalek, Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord, our banner. The Lord, our banner. That means the Lord was his covering. I'm trying to close, but I want you to really let this thought go with you today. Name your situation victory. Name it something that speaks to God's grace and his love. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this afternoon for your love, for your grace, and for your name. Lord, we ask you right now, let this word inspire us to call things by the name you give them. Lord, that you call those things that are not as though they be. Lord, we ask you right now to touch our hearts. Give us the faith to look at the devil and call him destroyer, call him loser. Because you have won the victory. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. You have given us victory. In the name of Jesus, we command victory in every situation. And we declare the name of Jesus exalted and above every situation that we are facing. Hallelujah. We thank you right now, Jesus, for deliverance and for your glory to be shed abroad. Hallelujah. If church, you will pray with me.